Good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome here on a beautiful, beautiful Sabbath day. And it's always good to be together as God's people, everyone. But imagine yourself being removed from every distraction in your life. Think about all the distractions that can be in your life for a period of 2 weeks. Now, for some, that can mean that would be great. For others, it would be a moment or 2 weeks of distress. But think about no constant social media. You're just free to think without using your phone or any college or work or school pressures. None of that for a whole period of 2 weeks. No competing priorities again for 2 weeks. Just God's creation, God's people, and thinking about what I'm talking about, God's youth being together, young people, and also God's instruction and a time, those 2 weeks to grow. That's exactly what we experienced during the past AYC, Ambassador Youth Camp, that we had a couple of weeks ago. Campers, volunteers, we as the directors, we enjoyed this camp thoroughly. All the conversations that we had during our meals or during a canoe trip or a hike, even the campers with their counselors during the time that they've been in the bunkhouses, the soccer games that we had, the soccer tournament, or just the being on the giant swing or the ropes, high ropes course that those campers and volunteers bravely scaled 2 times. They had an opportunity to do that for 2 times. This year we had the opportunity to do stargazing, something that we wanted to do last year, and the weather did not allow us to do it. But this year we could look up at the sky and see beautiful, beautiful stars. Thousands and thousands. We saw a star cluster of about 25,000 stars through a telescope that they were close together. We were singing and dancing and speaking around bonfires, making s'mores. Now, every activity, everyone, that we had during camp, those 2 weeks being cut off from all those pressures that I mentioned, those had one goal in mind. They were joyful, showing God's way of life. There's always purpose in every lecture and every activity, and reward. If somebody wants something, there was reward involved in that. But ultimately, that led young people to grow and to become leaders. But brethren, before I want to continue on, wanted to say and mention that your prayers, your encouragement, every volunteer's sacrifice, and the financial support of everyone, if you had a kid or a young person in your congregation or not, everybody's contribution and support made camp possible, made those 2 weeks possible. And as the director of camp, I wanted to use this opportunity to thank everyone for what you've done to make camp possible. But everyone, as God uses the experience of Ambassador Youth Camp to prepare and shape all those activities, shaped the young people for their future, for future leadership, He preserved the lives of His servants in Scripture also to teach and to mold and to prepare us today. So camp is a training ground for young people, but we can look back to the servants and those leaders that God showed. He captured their lives in the Bible, in Scripture, so that you and I can be prepared, be molded and shaped as well. Now, think about some of those servants. David, we read about David and Moses, Esther, Daniel. Why did God put their lives in the Bible for us? Paul gives us the answer. Paul gives us the answer, and it's a twofold answer. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. So we begin to bolt this message. Thinking a little bit about camp, connecting some of what we experience at camp, but also, brethren, this is a message for everyone, for every person in God's church. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Everyone can learn and should learn, and you'll see as we proceed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, I mentioned Paul will give us the answer to why God preserved the lessons, the lives of his servants in his word. Verse 11, if you are there. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, for types. If you read from verse 1, it speaks about the bad things that Israel did, the mistakes that they made. And they are written for our admonition. There's the first thing, there's the first reason, the first purpose why God preserved the lives of his servants in his word, for us to learn from their mistakes, to learn from their insecurities, to learn from their shortcomings, being admonished by them, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So it's important for us to have all those lives that we can focus on. But that's the one purpose. Let's go to another one. Paul again giving us those two. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Something very much in the same vein. Also what we can learn from the servants. All of those servants, even from the lives of those in Israel. But thinking a little bit more about those names that I mentioned. For whatsoever things, Romans 15 verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, way back when, it's almost as if we forgot what happened, but God says, no, you shouldn't forget, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So there's encouragement and comfort and hope when we learn about the lives of God's people. Now, Samson, the life of Samson perfectly illustrates both, everyone, admonition and also hope. When we think about Ambassador Youth Camp, God working with the youth, thinking about us as God's people as well, Samson is a perfect illustration because God started to work with him since he's been a youth. God actually prophesied his purpose with Samson. He was born to lead Israel and to judge them. They were in captivity under the Philistines. So he is an example that we will look at, brethren. But much of what makes Samson such a great teacher for us comes from the mistakes that Samson made. So brethren, as God prepare us for leadership, Samson's life reminds us that our mistakes need not define our future. When you look at the life of Samson, it can feel like a downer or something that's negative, but it shouldn't be, brethren. This is a message actually of tremendous hope when you look at Samson's life, that God has given us a learning opportunity for you and me. So let's go and look at a first lesson that we can learn from Samson's life, that God illustrates, looking a little bit more at his mistakes. And at one point you will ask maybe, what did Samson do right? So let's go to Judges. Judges, as I mentioned, God's purpose with Samson was to free Israel, to judge Israel. Before the period of kings, God used judges, and Samson was one of them. Chapter 13 of Judges. And we will just read a couple of verses. You go through chapter 13 and 14, go up to the end of 16, I believe, that we read about Samson. So there's a lot written about Samson, but we're not going to go through everything. The first lesson that we can learn, everyone, as you are in chapter 13, I'm going to pick up in verse 3, is you can write down, leadership begins with God's purpose and not ability. That's where leadership begins when we read about Samson. God has a purpose for you and me. He had a purpose for Samson. He had a purpose for the kids, the youth and volunteers, for us all at camp. He has a purpose for us, brethren, as a church. Let's read and learn from Samson. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. Very interestingly, when you read about Samson's mom, it never mentions her name. It only mentions his father's name, Manoah. But here we read the angel of the Lord. And as we learned in the prophecy series, that the angel of the Lord refers to Jesus Christ coming to Samson's mom, appeared unto him and said unto her, behold, now you are barren. She did not have children. I'm sure she and Manoah talked about it a lot. He was a Danite when you read in verse 2. But she was barren and bare not. God knew that she did not have children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Verse 4. Now therefore beware, I pray you, and drink not wine and strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. His purpose was to be a Nazarite. He couldn't drink strong drink. He couldn't eat unclean or touch anything unclean. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razors shall come on his head. There's the third thing that identified or characteristic of a Nazarite. He was not allowed to shave his hair or cut his hair. That was, as we know, Paul mentioned, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But here, God instructed, because he had a purpose with Samson, that he should not cut his hair. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. There is his purpose defined. God giving his mom a glimpse into the future of and the leadership role that Samson would play. Think about the leadership role that we hear about, what we going to have in God's kingdom. Everyone, an angel appearing unto Samson's mom, is chosen, is called from birth to be a Nazarite, and his purpose again to deliver Israel. He had tremendous potential, and God had a purpose for him from the beginning. We don't read about his ability. But when you think about Samson, that's probably one of the first things that you think about, his ability that he had. Let's go and read in chapter 13, verse 24. You can read the whole chapter there, verse 13. I'm just skipping through it, everyone, looking at verse 24. And this promise came to bear. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew. And God, the Lord, blessed him. So he was with him. As he said from the beginning when he appeared unto Samson's mom. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So God was with him. He had a purpose. And God started to move, as we see, Samson from times. Not all the time, but time to time. God prepared Samson long before Samson even realized it. Think about our calling, brethren, the purpose that you and I have. That calling is not just for Samson. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We have been called. We have a purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, a very well-known verse. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, It says, who has saved us? Brethren, we are being saved, but when you were baptized, we often will tell those that are baptized, if you die for some reason today, God saved you at that moment, when we are being saved. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. He called us, we have a purpose, but not according to our ability. God didn't start to work with us because of our abilities. It was because of, look at what we hear and read here, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Just as with Samson, before we even realized or understood it, brethren, God had a purpose for us. And we are learning day to day as Christians about that calling. Even at AYC, we recognize everyone and appreciate strength. If you think about what we observed at AYC, young men are often recognized for their strength, for their vigor, for their courage, for their ability. The ability to act. You can see that on the canoe trip. When a canoe fell over, a young man can jump in and two of them can roll over and get the water out of a canoe and move forward. Or when we had to pack or unpack the Yule of camp, men were able to jump in to carry the big things. We appreciate strength. Even ladies appreciate the strength of young men. We had lectures about how to be a man and how to be a lady. Again, that leadership that God is building into the youth at camp, but also in our lives, everyone. Samson's strength was almost without measure. That's often the first thing that we think about. Samson, it's not about his mistakes, but about his strength. Let's go back to Judges chapter 16 this time. We read that God started to move from time to time using Samson. Verse 3 of chapter 16. Judges 16 verse 3. I can actually pick up in verse 1, just giving us a little bit of context there. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, so they heard of it, saying, Samson, come here. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night at the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. They were afraid of Samson's strength, his abilities. But it says in verse 3, and Samson lay till midnight, he was aware, and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with it, the bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Now, this is one verse, brethren, that shows and encapsulates Samson's strength. You can go and read about the mound of people that he killed. But archaeologists estimate that the gates, the two gates of Gaza, the posts and the bar weighed something between 4 to 10 tons. Now imagine I would be able to carry maybe one of those gates, but Samson, he was able to do both of them. We can joke a little bit, brethren. Imagine even lifting up the gates, the posts, and the bars. And that was a tremendous feat. But he did more than that. He carried the gates from Gaza to Hebron, and that is something between maybe an average of 37 miles. Anything between 35 to 40 miles. So he didn't just pick up the gates, the posts of the hinges where the doors were, the gates were hinged on. He put both those doors on his shoulders. How can you hold on to something like that and carry it for that distance? And it says he did it uphill. He went to a hill in Hebron. So God used Samson to humiliate the things that the Philistines trusted in. They trusted in their security. Those gates would protect us. And God used Samson to destroy that. That was part of his purpose being fulfilled as a leader. But everyone, that is an example of tremendous, almost without measure, the strength that God gave him. Strength is often the first thing that people notice. We saw that at camp. We see that as people, the physical abilities of people, often the first things that we notice. Character is revealed over time. Samson's strength, brethren, was amplified. When you look at and read about him, it blows your mind away. When his strength is amplified, his mistakes became that more obvious. You would think maybe he was perfect. He had God's spirit. He was prophesied to be used from the beginning. But when you look at his mistakes, his strength actually made his mistakes more obvious. Brethren, potential alone is never enough. That is the first point. Again, when you wrote down leadership begins with God's purpose and not with abilities. Again, that might feel like a downer when we read about Samson's life there, but we will see and begin to see that that's going to build a lot of hope. The second lesson, everyone, is that leadership is shaped by daily choices. When we're going to look a little bit more at the mistakes of Samson at this point. Learning from Samson's life, we can examine the poor choices that he made. Let's go to chapter 14. We looked at his strength, unmeasured strength. So we almost could conclude in our mind and say, well, he had perfect character. He must have been strong in character. But here we read in verse chapter 14, taking us back a little bit earlier in his life. And Samson went down, verse 1, to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. A little bit of a cocky attitude there, I would say. A little bit of self-will. He was an Israelite. He knew that the Philistines were hands off when it comes to marriage. His parents, when you read about it, they were faithful to God's way. But he, in a way, dishonors his parents. He knew his strength. He had a little bit of self-will and pride, maybe more than I describe here. And he tells his parents, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of your brethren, the Israelites, or among all my people that you go to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. So she must have been beautiful. Samson knew his strength. He must have shown that off to the ladies, and we read that in different parts. Brethren, he knew his strength. But we begin to see some of his insecurities, some of his shortcomings, some of his mistakes. And the first one that we bring out is he was self-willed. Self-willed. He ignored his parents' counsel. Another one here in verse 5, we just can continue to read. He started to compromise. He knew the plan. His mom and dad told him about his purpose, but he was thinking about other things. First thing, we see that he just was short-sighted and looking to the ladies of the Philistines. The other one here in verse 5 says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him," thinking again about Samson's purpose, "and he rent him," Samson rent the lion as he would have rent a kid. "And he had nothing in his hand," as if he had nothing in his hand. We saw a little fawn there at camp, very vulnerable, lying in the grass. Now think about a kid, a young kid. It can be from a goat or a lamb. God says, then gives us the indication that Samson was so strong that he destroyed a lion. He ripped it to pieces as if it was just a small animal. But he told not his father and his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased him. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. As he went about, he saw the carcass of the lion, and beheld, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands. Now, he was a Nazarite. We learned when the angel of God came to his mom, telling her that he should not eat anything that's unclean, and that would mean that he were not able to touch it. But he went in, as we read about it here, and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave to them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion, because he should not have done that. He started to compromise little things. We could say, well, that's not a big thing. Honey is good. He hid that from his mom and dad. Surely if he had told them, they would have, again, just as they did with the lady from the Philistines, would have instructed him not to do that. But he took the honey, and that shows everyone that he started to grow in disregard of the boundaries. He knew the boundaries, but he started to compromise with little things. We could say that's a little compromise. In verse 1 of chapter 16, we can read that again. I just touched on it before, but we can read it again. It says, verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." So there's another mistake that Samson made. He was playing with sin. Again, thinking about he was a married man at that point, but he went unto a prostitute. Again, clearly making certain mistakes without regard of God's way and also his plan that he had for Samson. He was presumptuous. He flirted with temptation. Let's look at chapter 16, and you can read verse 4 to 20, speaking about Samson and Delilah, but I want to read specifically verse 15 to verse 17. It says, "And he said unto him, How can you say I love you? Or she said unto him, Delilah, when your heart is not with me, how has you mocked me these three times and has told me wherein thy great strength lies?" So three times Samson went again to a lady, Delilah, that was off limits. He had a problem with ladies. But we continue. "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words," again he compromised. He went to her several times, and here we read, "daily went with her words. She urged him so that his soul vexed unto death. that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there know not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I have been shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Think about the context where he is given this. In the arms of a lady, he's giving his secret that God has given his mom and dad about his strength. Again, flirting with temptation. And then verse 20, everyone, we see there is probably the saddest statement of Samson's life when we read verse 20. And she said, Delilah, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. He was just relaxing there, almost as if he had no purpose. Again, think about the things, the compromises that he day to day started to make in his life. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as it was with other times. In his mind, he was still the man that he thought he was before, and shake myself. Before, she did the same thing, and he could shake himself off from the ropes that they laid upon him, bound Samson. This time he thought he would do exactly the same, and shake myself. And he wits not. That Hebrew word there means he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Those daily compromises that Samson made, the mistakes that he made, the things that he went to the edge each time of his life, that he went to the edge on the boundaries, living on the boundary, making those compromises as we read, brethren, he did not realize that God departed from him. Now, how did Samson end up in this position? We read several of the mistakes that he made. Did he lose God's spirit, the strength that God promised overnight, or through years of ignoring the warning signs? Every small compromise over time led to God departing from him. And he thought at that moment, I was still the same man with the abilities and the strength that God gave me. He was weakened through repeated compromise. That's a lesson for us. Great failures usually begin with small compromises. Think about our lives, brethren. Small compromises are often dangerous because they are rarely looked on as rebellion against God. They are usually small allowances, choices that seem harmless or convenient or justified. But over time, they can weaken conviction, they can dull the conscience, and pull us away from God's standards. So again, Samson is a lesson. When we look at his mistakes, there's a lessons to be learned. What seemingly small compromises can we allow in our lives? Here are a couple of examples, brethren. Compromising relationships. Keeping friendships that constantly pull us away from God. It's not wrong to have friends in the world, but if they keep us from and pulling us away from God, that's something that we should consider and reconsider those friendships. Wanting acceptance so badly that we hide our beliefs. Those are things that we communicate to teens at camp and teach them. Those are the things that young people struggle with. But at camp, again, we can teach those things. And for us, brethren, looking at Samson's life, we can learn those same lessons again, that we want to be strong in our beliefs more than wanting the acceptance of people so badly. Laughing at things we know are wrong because we want to fit in. You can be in a social circle, in a social circumstance, wherever you are at work or at school or college, wherever you find yourself with family, not spiritual family, physical family. Think about the social setting, and then making jokes, and those things are good in itself, but we can again go to those boundaries and just want to fit in at that moment, and not realizing, as we heard earlier today, thinking about in the first message about our speech, how we should conduct ourselves in a setting like that. Choosing a relationship based only on feelings rather than on God's way. That's what that Samson did. He didn't look at the big picture. He just looked at the here and the now and based his decision on feelings. He disregarded his parents' counsel. Think about the counsel of the ministry. Think about, even as young people, the counsel of your parents. God's way should be paramount in our mind when we make decisions like that. Compromising our time with God, that's something that seems to be very small, isn't it, everyone? I'm too busy to pray today. We all fall into that situation or that mindset. Again, we live busy lives. But making a decision like that on a daily basis can be compromising. I'll study the Bible later or tomorrow. I found myself saying things like that. I'm sure that you did those things as well, brethren. Those little decisions should caution us to make a direction change, so to speak. Spending the first or the best part of the day doing other things when we can and should spend that with God. Again, not that it is wrong. You're not necessarily going to be strict with that each and every day. I have to go and pray immediately. You're going to make your coffee. You're going to do your exercise. But your mindset, brethren, should be that I want to spend the best time of my day with God. Allowing days to pass without meaningful prayer or Bible study, something that is important for us, that it can be a warning sign that I'm compromising in a certain, in a small way. Thinking about speech again, joining in gossip because everyone else is talking about it. That gives me the opportunity, so to speak, to do that again. But that's a small compromise that we can make with our speech. Small choices become lifelong habits, and that's what we taught the teenagers at camp, getting up out of bed in the morning, having deadlines, we have to travel. Those little habits that we created help them to see the importance of small choices that become lifelong and important habits. Samson continually asked, how close can I get? Rather than, how close can I stay to God? Again, small choices. Samson resisted God's preparation for his purpose, everyone, through the mistakes that he made. Here is the third lesson that we can see from Samson. Great leaders learn through their failures. Judges 16, verse 21. Thinking about the end of Samson's life, when they took him from Delilah, they put him in prison. Here it says, we continue to read on, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He was captured, he was blinded, he was in prison. That was the consequences. Sin always has certain consequences, and Samson had to live for a certain period of time with those consequences. But brethren, we often dwell more on our mistakes, unnecessarily for too long, even after the lessons have been learned. You can think about how long Samson been in prison, the time that he had to think about and to learn from his mistakes. Samson finally reached bottom. He lost his freedom, he lost his sight, he lost his strength. Yet the next verse, everyone, introduced quietly some of the greatest words of hope that we can find in Judges. Going to verse 22, we read verse 21. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. They left him and his hair started to grow again. This is a turning point, brethren, in Samson's story. Now let's go to two final scriptures in Hebrew. As I prepared this message, I was thinking about, brethren, go to Hebrews 11. Where do we find, thinking about God that wrote down the lives of his servants for our admonition and also for comfort and for hope? I mentioned this is a message about hope. God only wrote about Samson in the Old Testament. There we found in Judges those chapters. But in the New Testament, the only place that you can find his name is in Hebrews 11, and we will read verse 32. It says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets." When you look at all those names, maybe Jephthah doesn't ring a bell, but when you think about David or Samuel or the prophets, you would say, yes, they fit easily into the faith chapter. But why is Samson's name written in the hall of fame, so to speak, of those God considered faithful? We read a lot about the mistakes of Samson, everyone. Deeply focus on them, and you can go and read in more detail in those chapters in Judges. But why is his name included among the faith heroes? Brethren, Hebrews doesn't remember Samson's, where he primarily started or began his life, but for how he finished it, where he ended. Let's go back to Judges 16. God didn't remember all those mistakes, all your mistakes that we often can dwell on too long after we've learned the lessons. Think about, this is so inspiring to think about Samson. He made it into the hall of fame of faith. Brethren, you and I can be receiving that comfort and that hope as well. The admonition is there, yes. We look at their mistakes, his insecurities. We could learn from them. We can look at our own and we can learn from those. But we read here in verse 28 and 29 of chapter 16, it says, "And Samson called unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray you." Nowhere else do we read any prayer of Samson. Never. Not in all those chapters. Only here we read a deep, long prayer of a lot of words. No. We read one simple prayer that says, "Remember me, I pray you, strengthen me." He knew that he lost God's strength. He learned from those lessons. "I pray you only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Think about that. He remembered his purpose, everyone. He remembered his calling. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one on his right hand, on the one of his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords, upon the people that were within. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they was slew throughout his life. A tragic end for Samson, brethren. And nowhere in his life can we read about the exciting relationship that he had with God. But here at the end, just one simple prayer demonstrated the faith that he had. Samson demonstrated remarkable faith at the end of his life through his final prayer, showing that God can work with those who turn to him with humility and trust. Brethren, that gives us tremendous encouragement and hope, as we said it will do. Brethren, God doesn't look at, as we begin to conclude, where you and I started, but at the character that you and I build. That's a strong emphasis that we showed to the teens and the young people that God is working with when we taught them and showed them and gave them an experience at camp. And he will do the same for you. It's about who you become at the end, who you and I will be in the future. God never abandoned his purpose with Samson. God remained faithful beyond Samson's failures. He is still preparing us as well. God is the one that's faithful. Brethren, it was his faithfulness that ended up allowing Samson's name to be in the book of faith. Not so much Samson's faithfulness. He was willing at the end of his life. We could see and read through all his mistakes. It wasn't his victories that made him a Hall of Famer, so to speak. It was God's faithfulness, brethren, working through a man at the end of his life, willing to repent and to change. During the last night at camp, I asked the campers, as we returned from a successful service here at headquarters, we had our last opportunity to be together, and I asked them to summarize camp in one word. And they gave excellent answers, and one that came up was balanced. Everything that we did was balanced. Balance is about bringing admonition, brethren, that we read, admonition and encouragement together to produce hope. We could look at the mistakes from Samson, and we could have seen a different outcome. Rather than presenting Samson's simple or simply as a hero or a failure, God preserved his story to produce both admonition and hope for us. And both of them were present at AYC as well. Every lecture, every Bible study, every activity, every conversation, everyone left the campus and staff to ask the following two questions. What should I avoid? And what should I become? The 2 weeks at camp, all the distractions were removed from the young people to focus on God's purpose. But camp eventually ended, and everyone returned home. But the real test for the young people and for us, brethren, is now. Will we make the daily choices that prepare us for leadership, the kind of leadership God had in mind. Samson reminds us that mistakes are real and their consequences are serious, but they need not define the future of someone who returns to God in faith.